You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go on the Thursday podcast. Al, what is in your ass? What's going on?
Nothing right now, Jerry. I have my jeans on, but I do have I do have a printed out article, which is very rare for the
we haven't done that in
post-game
a long
podcast.
Time.
I have a printed out article that was sent to me by a man named Bob Jones.
Hello, Bob Jones, the guy from Augusta National from 100 years ago.
I don't know if that's his fake name or his real name. It was sent to me on Twitter because it involved the two things that we kind of talk about often on the warm-up show / post-game podcast.
Okay.
That is, we talk about how sometimes we're in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time.
Sure.
And we also talk a lot about how Mariano Rivera blew the 2001 World Series right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how could there be sports gods, Jerry, if that happened.
Right, sure. That was the one that sold it for me.
Yeah, so here's an article dated November of 2019 that was sent to me. And it's the headline is, this comes from Empire Sports Media, Jerry, and written by a man named Robert Brzezinski, just to give proper credit here. And the headline is, how blowing Game 7 of the 2001 World Series saved a Yankee's life. I hadn't heard this story before.
Saved a Yankee's life?
Yeah,
okay.
Saved a Yankee's life.
Okay.
Let's see. Enrique Wilson.
I remember Enrique Wilson.
Was a backup infielder whom the Yankees acquired from the Pirates during the 2001 season. He watched from the dugout as this whole thing developed about Mariano blowing the game. Anticipating a Yankee win and subsequent parade, Wilson booked a flight back to his native Dominican Republic for a week or so later. When the ninth inning went as it did, Wilson decided to take an earlier flight and canceled his original flight because Mariano blew the game. The flight he was originally scheduled to be on was an American Airlines flight, Flight 587, leaving New York for the Dominican Republic. The plane crashed in Queens.
I remember that.
Killing all 265 people on board. Enrique Wilson told Mariano Rivera the story. And the veteran closer was shaken, but at the same time grateful. He may have blown a World Series, but losing the 2001 World Series allowed Enrique Wilson to live. What about that? That's a pretty wild story. How would you feel about that as far as things happening for a reason or totally random going through life? And if you leave 5 minutes late for work, you might get in a deadly crash. If you leave 5 minutes early for work...
Wrong place, wrong time, right
so
place,
you think
right time.
Total coincidence, right?
I mean, you're going to tell me that was God? I mean, what about the 200 people that were on the plane?
Yeah, what about those 265? That's a good point.
Because it's as if we forget about everybody else that actually suffered and died. So Enrique Wilson, very lucky that he wasn't on that plane, but please don't tell me a higher power did that because you're really shorting the other 200 people.
Yeah.
That are no longer with us.
Hmm. That's a really good point, Jerry, one I hadn't considered while reading the actual article, that this man, well, he did save Enrique Wilson's life, but, yeah, and I guess you can't blame, so we're not going to blame Mariano Rivera for the other 265 deaths, because that plane crashed, whether he blew the game or not. Just that man wasn't on the flight.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, it's a terrible story.
Yeah.
Good for him, awful for those people, obviously. And then, you know, what about, I don't know where you want to stop this. How about all the people that, I don't know, just were miserable for the next month because the Yankees lost? What about, I don't know, a kid that had a dying wish to see the Yankees win one more time before cancer took him, and then they blew the game? I mean, you can do this as long and far as you want.
Yeah, Boomer one time, and I wish I remembered the details of this, but Boomer one time heard you and I talking about this and the sports gods and the Yankees. How could the sports gods have let the Yankees lose a World Series in 2001, in particular, Jerry, to what we still see as an expansion team in the Arizona Diamondbacks? And Boomer knew somebody who passed away in 9/11 whose family member was an Arizona Diamondbacks fan,
yep,
and how that World Series helped him in the grieving process. So that happens as well.
There's no doubt about it. For every bad story, there's 100 good stories or whatever. They're one for one, however you want to say it. It's just, it's personal to you, and it's personal to others in a different way.
Correct. And then I want to turn to this, Jerry. A fella named Timothy sent this to us. He said, I know how you and Jerry say you'd become a driver if you had to. It's the sixth deadliest job in America. So this guy sent me the most deadly jobs in America according to 2022 statistics, Jerry.
Okay.
Have you had a chance to peek at this?
No.
This is a civilian occupations with the highest fatal work injury rates. All right. Number one, this seems like a dangerous job, Jerry. Logging workers. These are people who are chopping down trees and chopping them
up. That seems relatively dangerous.
Like you go into the rainforest, you go up into the Canadian woods, you're chopping down these massive trees. Now, I'm not talking about the guy, Jerry, chopping down trees in your backyard, although that's probably a very dangerous job as well.
Okay.
I'm talking about these loggers, Jerry, where day in, day out, they are chopping down these enormous trees and making logs out of them.
Yep.
That is the number one most dangerous job that you could have as a civilian.
It makes sense.
I guess they're taking out, when they say civilians, they don't mean military, because I guess military has very dangerous jobs. Number two is an interesting one, Jerry, because it's people we see every day. These are the people in the neighborhood. Roofers.
Yeah, again.
Roofing is a very dangerous job.
Right.
You see people up there. And by the way, this is like huge roofing season. This, at least down the shore, it's roofing season. People getting their houses ready for to be moved back in. So a lot of people in the Jersey Shore area do roofing.
Mm-hmm.
I know another big time of year is in the fall after summer, because they don't want to be up there roofing.
In the winter.
Or
the dead of summer.
The dead of summer.
Yeah, it's hot as hell up there.
July, August, you can't be up there roofing.
Although they do.
They do.
I did it one summer. I remember. I did it in July.
You had the second most dangerous job, Jerry.
For 3 weeks.
You were roofing.
Like in July, 3 weeks, and that I was done.
Right, but you got to think, if you have the second most dangerous job, being a roofer.
Yes.
And you're doing it every day.
Yeah.
At what point are you statistically due for a bad accident?
You know how many roofers there are in this country?
I know.
And that's the whole thing with the driving thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many drivers we have in this country. That's like when people say it's safer to fly than to drive. I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of 99% of airline crashes, you die.
Yeah. I think
almost.
If you were to say you could either get into a automobile accident or an airline accident.
I'll take my chances with the car accident.
Correct.
And the seatbelt and the airbags.
Correct.
Doesn't mean that it's not 100% you're going to survive
right.
It, but I feel like my chances of surviving a car
better.
Accident are a lot better than an airline crash.
Correct. For the roofers being a dangerous job that's very deadly, do you think falling off the roof is number one?
I think it has to be because falling off the ladder because a lot of times you've got to carry up all the materials that are heavy as hell. You got to make sure the ladder's secure. When you get it up there, you got to get them up onto the roof. Then you got to get up and down on the ladder. You can't slip. If you slip, there's no net.
Right,
like, it's nuts.
You're
man.
Working on a hill the whole, or like that angle the whole time.
Yeah, it's a slanted roof. And I'm afraid of heights as well.
Yeah, me
it
too.
It was awful. I'm telling you, it was the most. It was the worst few weeks of my life working wise.
I also would worry about like the wooden part of the roof that, like, a roofer is putting the tiles on.
Mm-hmm.
The wooden part of the roof. What if that's weak and you step right through it and whoop?
Yeah, it's possible.
Into the house.
It's possible. I mean, that plywood would really have to be shot to crap.
Yeah.
For that to happen. But that's certainly possible.
Another dangerous part, nail gun.
Yeah.
That nail gun.
Nail your foot. I mean, Chevy Chase did that in Christmas Vacation when he put the lights up.
Right. He nailed his
shirt.
Yeah, right to the thing.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let me see what other dangerous jobs I have here on the list, Jerry. So we've got loggers, roofers, fishing, and hunting workers. I don't know about that one. Then it goes.
You know, they're shooting. Anything with guns.
Hunting workers. Good point.
Yeah.
Construction trades.
Yeah, not a surprise.
Then how about this one, Jerry? You just mentioned aircraft pilots and flight engineers.
Flight engineers, huh? I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I guess they've got to be on the flight.
Okay. Well, I mean, every time you get on a plane, like getting in a car, you're taking a chance. So
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, these are dangerous jobs. These are all blue-collar jobs, Jerry.
And I really think driving's on the list because of the sheer volume.
Correct. You got driving, you got iron and steel workers. Again, those are the dudes that are walking huge heights in New York City on those girders where we see that old classic black and white photo of all those dudes with their lunch pails sitting on the piece of iron that's just in the middle of the sky.
The most classic black and white photo you'll ever see about New York City.
I love that one.
Yeah, I don't, and I think it's real, too.
I think it's real as well. It's just guys with their metal lunch boxes on their lunch break, iron workers putting up buildings like the Empire State Building, Chrysler Building, and they're sitting up there, Jerry, not a care in the world with heights. Why are we afraid of heights and these guys are not?
Well, different emotions. We're all built differently. I don't know. I don't know why I have that fear. Whereas there are other things I don't fear, other people do. I don't know the answer to that.
Could you be in like people say they can't get an MRI because they're in the enclosed tube?
I've done MRIs. I don't like them. But
you're not panicking.
No, I shut my eyes. I'm good with it. I don't like how tight it is. It really is. Like, that thing is right above your eyes. Knowing that I could wiggle out if I had to, it's not enclosed, certainly helps.
Yeah.
But it's not a comfortable feeling at all. So I'm also not terrified of it like some people are.
You know what I wonder about, like, roofers, construction workers? A lot of times, they are men who come from another country.
Okay.
Right?
And landscapers.
And landscapers. Yeah. They come from another country. How do they get the skills, like, if they don't speak English?
I have no idea.
Which a lot of them don't speak English. Being in construction, being in roofing, seems like a pretty detailed, very specific way that you have to do things in order for your safety and for the safety of the thing you're installing.
Sure. How about when they do the mud guys, when they're doing the drywall? And they got to make sure all the seams are perfect before you paint. They're so good at it. Whether it's whoever. I mean, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the immigrants that come in and do jobs like that. And they do it so well. And I'm saying, I can't figure it out.
Tiling.
It pisses me off.
Like, do tiling, like a beautiful bathroom, a beautiful kitchen. And there are guys that will wait outside like a Home Depot to be picked up to go work on a project that day, and they know how to do everything?
Yeah. I mean, you go to a 7-Eleven or a Wawa on a Saturday morning, and their guys, they just want work. They're just looking for work. And then most of the time, they can do anything you really need them to
Correct.
Do. Which is amazing to have that type of skill.
Right. And I guess one person of the group must be able to speak English to communicate with the person who's hiring the work.
So I've never done this, but a friend of mine does all the time, actually. And what he tells me is you go find the person who's kind of in charge, and they'll ask, what are you looking to do? And I guess certain guys are good at different things, and maybe there are some that can do all. You know, and so I need landscaping done today. I need tile work done. I need some drywall done. Maybe it's specific to what their skill is.
No, it's weird. Like, there's two things. One, the guys are looking for work, so you want to be able to give them work if you have work. But because it doesn't seem like sanctioned work, I always feel like, what if they were injured on my property? Am I going to be sued? And I had workers that aren't licensed to be doing the work on my property.
Right. But that's a problem, too. That's a big problem, actually.
That's what I would worry about.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you want to give work to people who really want work and really need work. And yet, I'm picking up a group of guys that I don't know what their story is. I don't know them at all. They don't know me. If they are using a chainsaw and chainsaw one of their legs off, Am I going to be
in homeowner's insurance?
I'm going to be in a lawsuit, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I always wonder that, too. Like, what's the insurance for, like, a tree company?
Yeah.
So I've had, over the past couple of years, I've had a bunch of trees quarterized or taken out. And I'm looking at these guys. In some cases, they climbed the tree with spike shoes and a little harness.
Yeah.
And they're literally 80 feet in the air. And I'm thinking, one slip and then what?
Yeah.
Like, he gone. Then what do we do?
Yeah, that's why, like, that should be. I know people will complain about how expensive it is to get a tree cut down. Right.
I agree. There are certain things that cost so much more than I think they should. And there are certain jobs that, to me, don't cost enough.
Right. And going up, because you got to think, like you said, what is the insurance for the job to climb up a tree and cut it down while you're in it?
Yeah.
You're in the tree cutting it down. Hoping it doesn't crash into a neighbor's house, the house you're working on, a person down below.
I agree.
Because insurance for dumb things is expensive.
Yep. Not something that you literally could have a problem staying alive.
Correct.
I always think we talk about airline prices. To me, airline prices should be standardized. You want to fly from New York to South Carolina? Yeah. $100. You want to go to Florida? $200. You want to Dallas? $350. You want to go to California? $900.
Right, because you're going all the way across the
country.
You
don't like it? Drive. You want to go to Hawaii and cross the Pacific Ocean? $2,000.
Right. You're going to be flying over the ocean, and you got to really trust us.
If not, drive to California and rent a boat.
Yeah.
Good luck getting there. That's one of those, and I'm being obviously extreme when I say $900 and $2,000, but you think about what you're getting. In some cases, you can book, no joke, I've gone enough times to California where you can go round trip to California for like $290, $300.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, I'm going from New York to California and California to New York for like $145 each way?
Doesn't make sense.
What? It costs more to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
It really is something.
Right. And in other times, a short flight is a ridiculous $500
amount. To go to Charleston.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I know.
Or it's like you see a concert in Atlantic City. You're like, I'm kind of interested in this. Oh, the room is $600 that night?
I know.
I heard a commercial for the band America.
Yeah.
Horse with No Name, Ventura Highway, Amy, they sing. Mm-hmm. No, Pure Prairie League sings Amy. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
But America, we know their songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Ocean.
Tin Man,
yeah. Ocean's Resort. I'm like, oh, Gina would like that. So I first go look at the tickets. Tickets are more than I would want to spend, $200.
$200?
Yeah, but I'm like, okay, let me see what the room is at the Ocean Resort that night. $563.
It's ridiculous.
Sorry, $1,000.
To go see America.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm with you. No chance. And then to get dinner. And then to get dinner and breakfast the next morning.
And drinks, Jerry. I got to have some drinks if I'm going to go see America.
Your gas, your tolls. You're probably in for $1,400 for one night.
Got to pay to put my dog up in a dog hotel.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no.
Life has gotten so incredibly expensive very quickly, too.
Yeah.
It's always been expensive for the most part. These last few years, it has just, and I'm not getting political, trust me, but these last few years have just been...
It's gotten nuts.
Eye-opening. Really eye-opening.
And yet, Jerry, people don't seem to have a problem paying for it.
We continue right? to do it. We continue to do it.
Like, the only reason why the tickets to see America...
Because people are paying for it.
And the room at Ocean Resorts is $563... is because someone's going to, that room ain't going to sit empty that weekend.
It's amazing because I would go to Atlantic City more than I do.
Yeah.
But the price is, like you said, I'm not spending $1,200 for one night. I'd rather just go somewhere.
And in the summer, if you go during the week where it's cheaper, there's no vibe.
During it's the
like,
week?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't go during the week. Thursday night's okay, but you really have to go.
You got to go on the weekends.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I actually have a May visit to Borgata.
Oh, nice.
To see John Hyatt.
Okay.
It was on a Saturday night or Friday or Saturday night.
Were you?
But I got him so far in advance that the rooms were reasonable, like $200.
And that's actually reasonable.
That's how you have to do it.
Yep. Good for you.
Hey, good for you.
Good for you.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
Right on.
We did that at 5 a.m. And we'll be back tomorrow. Oh, it's Friday already, Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So?